flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL here on this Friday in the loop. But our question of the day was like, what is frustrating to wait for, but indeed worth the wait? Someone said deplaning. Like when you're just on a plane, you're in the back, and you're just waiting to get... Just PSA, please sit down. Like it's so
why is everybody stand up?
Just wait. You're not going to get out of there any faster by standing up versus sitting down.
So but you're still excited.
I know. Yeah. And I know people want to stretch and everything, but you're not really getting a good stretch.
Let me stand up and wait for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. So you're not really moving. Someone did mention a sports championship. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating, but definitely worth the wait.
Look who you're talking to.
That's right. And then
some people die waiting, man.
Yeah, well, right. Tick, tick, tick.
Some people did die waiting.
Shout out to the Astros giving us some victories of late. All right. And somebody said, waiting on the occasion you can wear that new outfit. Oh, yeah. I know how you were raised.
Waiting on the first day of school.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm still
the outfit on the bed.
I haven't gotten over that. I still, if I get new clothes, I have to wait for a major out. Okay. Like I have not gotten to a place where I could just wear that.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I get like that with sneakers.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I still got some sneakers I never broke up.
They're still in the box. Just like, but it's not an occasion. I got to wait till an occasion.
What
all right.
What are you waiting for, man?
The occasion right now is around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Tired of the hassle of selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today, and they'll handle the rest. That's Quick Assist, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And we begin with potentially international Texans.
Oh, yeah, man. I love this.
Yesterday, from a Brazilian publication, which I believe... It reads as Lance, but I'm pretty sure it's Lance.
Lance.
Brazilian is basically like drunk Spanish, or Portuguese, I guess is what I should say. Portuguese is basically like drunk Spanish.
Yeah.
So, like, if you know a little bit of Spanish, you can pick some things out, but you'll still be confused as hell. Mm-hmm. And in my cursory learning of Spanish, I know that that Lance, or basically that root, is to throw, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I guess, a Brazilian football magazine of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
That would seem to track. However, they are reporting that the Chargers are a team that will play in Sao Paulo in September. So likely to be that same as that Eagles Packers game that was played in Sao Paulo, same place. This past season, week one, where, you know, the travel gets a little bit easier to deal with, that type of thing. However, with the Chargers being out there, it feels like that then opens up the possibility of the Texans being there, because it'll be a Chargers home game that they take over there. And so who are the teams that the Chargers are playing on the road? And you go through those and you parse through
those.
At home, rather, right? I guess the teams that would be playing on the road versus the Chargers is the way that I would say that. They'll play the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Raiders, obviously in division. Then you have the Eagles, Commanders, Steelers, Vikings, and Texans. It's highly unlikely that the NFL takes
Philly,
because they played last year. But then also, it's highly unlikely that they take a divisional game and move it out of the country, because I mean, the NFL is still trying to make this money with it. And so, with that being the case, it feels like the most likely teams are the Texans, Commanders, and Vikings. So there you go. Like, we talked about it, the possibility of, like, with the Colts, I believe, hosting in Berlin, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. That would be it. But again, taking
division
a
game.
Division game over there, you go, maybe. This one feels like, oh, now you're in the possibility of the Texans maybe being on the road in Brazil, Sao Paulo.
And yeah, watch them colors.
That's right.
Well, yeah, no green in any of these, so you don't have to worry about anybody
coming. Red and blue.
Yeah. I don't know what the Portuguese equivalent is of where you from, where your grandma stay. Like, I don't know if there's an equivalent of that. However, I imagine Texans fans would not have to worry.
Yeah, no, but it just makes way
don't
too
throw out them H's.
What does that mean? Because we, you know, I'm convinced they're going to play somewhere overseas. It's just time for the Texans. We thought they were last year. They probably were last year, as we've mentioned. But then the Hall of Fame game came up. So it just makes sense on that front. It also makes sense, like, if it's the season opener, how about a playoff rematch? Chargers and Texans.
I can see that.
You know?
I can see that.
So just the way they sell it, et cetera, it makes a lot of sense.
Y'all Texans. Trying to go?
Texans? Whew. 9 hours each way.
Hey, that's but such when, an ungrateful hey, response.
But when you get there, it's going to be fun, right?
It's going to be a
just
blast.
Just like the question of the day, yeah, right?
It's worth the wait.
It's worth the wait.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is it worth a 9 hour flight?
Yeah, I'm not certain. I am not certain.
Just don't stand up when the plane lands.
Yeah. That's right. If everybody promises to not stand up, I'll go.
Brazilian people and South American people, I've flown on several flights with them. They're the ones that applaud when the plane lands.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's what you hear about.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, it is magnificent that we are taking people in this steel contraption and soaring through the air. I don't want to lose my whimsy about that.
Yeah.
Like, do you realize that we just went many, many miles in a short amount of time through the air like birds? This, I feel like,
in steel.
We could let people clap, right? Yeah. We could let people applaud.
No, it's cute. It's just like they all applaud.
This is a mini miracle that we make happen consistently.
Yeah.
That sometimes we get upset if we have to wait a few extra minutes in order to make it happen. Now, I'll be honest. I do get upset if we have to wait a few extra hours to make it happen, as myself and Figgy saw not too long ago. But yes, flight. Magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Flight delays.
Oof. They can be rough. But yeah, this will be the second game for the Chargers in Latin America. They played the Chiefs in Mexico in 2019. And they have a pretty strong record of playing in various places overseas, dating back all the way to 1976. But yeah, it'll be... I feel like you're in on the international Texans.
Well, it's not so much in, is it just... I think they are. I mean, they just are.
And 713 makes a good point. Vikings played in London last year, so it's possible that maybe they get an international game by to where it's really down to just mm-hmm. the Commanders and the Texans. So we'll see how that ultimately pans out. Another thing around the NFL, it seems like Nick Caley, who is one of the people that has been interviewed, at least reportedly, because the Texans apparently are real G's and then move in silence like lasagna, right? because we are hearing about these things after they happen in some cases. But yeah, Nick Caley, who has interviewed for the Texas job, apparently has pulled himself out of the running for the Jets job. I think the reporting happened just earlier today, maybe not more than 2 hours ago, mm-hmm. that Nick Caley has pulled himself out of the running for the Jets position. Which, how do you read that? Do you read that as maybe, you know, possibly wanting to stay in his position in L.A.? Or maybe that he just is like, nah, I don't want to coach in New York?
I think there's a couple of possibilities here.
Okay.
The first one is what you said. Maybe, you know, he pulled himself out of the job. Like, it's not like the Jets moved on. He pulled himself out of the job. And so maybe it's that. I think also maybe, you know, he had a word with Mike LaFleur. Who got fired by the Jets. And LaFleur said, yeah, you don't want that.
You don't want the problem?
Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a new regime. Like, you got Aaron Glenn in there.
No, I get it.
And then, you know, Woody Johnson has promised to keep his hands behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, maybe it's a new day.
Has he?
Out there in the Meadowlands.
Has he?
I mean, supposedly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But yeah, so one of the candidates, one of the many candidates for the Texas OC job, at least he has turned down the Jets job. So if anything, at the very least, that puts him in a place where now
he's still available.
Still available. And two, there's fewer people that you're competing against. Mm-hmm. If that is indeed the way that the Texans lean on that coordinator search. We'll talk more about that as this program goes along. Some other things around the NFL and talking about filling position. Liam Cohen, Mr. Duval. What is that? What movie is it that's basically like that? I think Parker yesterday was talking about...
Oh, he's talking about Toy Story.
Well, he's talking about Toy Story. There's another movie. What is it? Like, is it Jack and I'm Back? Is
Yes, Jack Nicholson. I'm back.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think Parker said that he sounded like the little toy aliens from Toy Story. The Claw. I feel like that's how the Duval went.
Shining,
thank you very much. This is a movie show, I guess. But, you know, Liam Cohen, now the head coach in Jacksonville.
Duval.
It does kind of sound like it. It does kind of sound like that. But, yes, that man himself, the head coach of the Jags now, looking to get assistance. And how does hiring happen in the NFL often? It's kind of who you know. Except that gets tough when you burned a bridge.
When you're bitter.
Yeah, when you burned a bridge with obviously the ways that it happened where he decided that he was not going to be he was going to take himself out of the running for the Jags job, and then he was going to sign the extension to be the coordinator in Tampa. And then he went AWOL. Mm-hmm. He went MIA for a period of time and then ultimately popped up in Jacksonville with the job. Seems like Tampa Bay is not taking that too kindly because there have been multiple assistants that Liam Cohen has tried to hire away from the Buccaneers, you know, obviously where he was and the people that he's worked with. And the Bucs have blocked them. specifically, the Bucs blocked requests for offensive line coach Kevin Carberry and assistant offensive line coach Brian Picucci for roles on Cohen's staff. And then, those are the main ones. But, yeah, the Bucs were like, no. No. We're blocking all the ones that are blockable.
The hell you are.
Go find somewhere else. Right? Like, exactly. No, those dudes are getting extensions unlike you.
I don't mind it.
You're with it? You like the petty?
Well, yeah, I kind of like the bitter and the petty.
I also respect it to some degree. With like, hey, we thought we were going to have something here. You take off, and now you want to, like, now we're having to find a new offensive coordinator already.
Because of that.
But you want to take away some of the, you know, make more turnover on our staff? No. Like, just, I don't even know that you have to be petty. You might just look up and be like, we like what we have here, and we would like that for it to not be turned over.
It's a little petty,
for lateral move.
I think it's a little petty, but and I don't mind it. That's how it works, man. He burned them. You know, when it comes right down to it, he burned them.
See? I knew we were wrong. 832. Y'all butchered that. Jack Nicholson says, "Here's Johnny."
Oh, here's Johnny.
What's on? Is that like Poltergeist or something?
It's something. There is an "I'm back" and there is "Here's Johnny." Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So the Shining, here's Johnny.
What are you thinking about?
I don't know. it's a whole different thing now. Yeah. I'm trying to stay focused on around the NFL, and so I will do that. Continuing on, I did mention there's a person in the Miami Heat organization who has a vested interest in this Super Bowl and how it goes. And I know that you're asking, first of all, why are we talking about betting? Not what we're talking about. And second of all, why the hell are we talking about the Miami Heat in this instance?
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Are you familiar with Pat Riley?
Very much so.
He is a coaching legend. He is the executive that really has things going there in Miami for the Heat. He has, like, his hands all over everything. He is trusted to really run that organization. But you remember, he was a highly regarded coach in the NBA, particularly with the Lakers, right? And the probably most notable early version of the three-peat in the NBA. Well, apparently, I think he heard one of the players refer to it as a three-peat. And so Riley, with a company that is called Riles & Company Incorporated, he has trademarks for three-peat in various different iterations. And so, like, when the Bulls three-peated in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to, because he has that trademark on it, he was able to cash in some money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, if three-peats happen, Pat Riley stands to make money. So in this game, you have to imagine that Pat Riley is rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs to win so that they go through merchandise and all sorts of things, and he gets a little money off of another instance of the three-peat.
If they win it, or if they just produce any merch, you know, that has three-peat on it.
Well, I mean, I feel like you have to win it in order to do that, right?
There might be some now. You know, Chiefs on the road to a three, whatever, you know. He makes it. I think the Yankees paid him some money as well.
Ah, yes, I did not consider that one as well.
And so, you know what? Tip of the cap. How much does it cost to get a copyright like that? And he's just banking.
And it's something simple, too.
Yes.
And he has like, I believe, five versions of it. He has three-peat all as one word. Or actually, no, I think it's a couple of them. Three-peat all as one word, three-peat separated, three-peat with hyphenated, and three with the numeral three-peat. So he has been very
every
litigious.
Single way.
He's been litigious about this.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm trying to get all this money. And there we go. There's many people trying to get
somebody, if they don't want to pay us, somebody had to put three P-E-T-E.
Or yeah.
Three P.
Yeah, how do we get around this? How do we evade this so that Pat Riley does not take some of our money? But yes, Pat Riley stands to gain here from this championship. And I guess salute to that man. Another odd thing that happens in the NFL and the NBA and sports in general. Somebody said, isn't there back from Poltergeist, which it seems like somebody said, their here is from Poltergeist, the original, and then Poltergeist 2 is their back.
Oh, okay.
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 All right. Thank you for helping
us. But
we were
thinking of The Shining. Here's Johnny.
No, I was thinking they're here.
You?
I was thinking they're here, but it's just the lilting way that that Liam Cohen says, or said Duvall in that one instance. And what really...
Duvall.
Yes. And what I've realized is that the way that it sounds is weird, but it's also so much weirder when you look at the way that he, like his face, like
his eyebrows,
his eyes get really big.
Yeah. He look really goofy, man.
He lands, it looks like a spoof.
Yeah, it does.
He's very goofy looking dude.
Duvall.
And then he lands it with this weird smirk.
He turns his head.
That's why I thought it was fake.
One eyebrow goes up and then the other eyebrow.
It's very
and
odd.
He's turning his
like,
head.
Like, bro, you should not be an NFL coach.
Just a goofball.
It's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one of the things that's happening. And fortunately for Liam Cohen himself, he will be. He'll have to stretch outside of his normal boundaries for coaches because the Buccaneers are not letting him have these things. Mm-hmm. You said you're embarrassed for the NFL.
Come on, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
What do you mean?
This Pro Bowl
Oh,
game.
You enjoyed the festivities.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I did say I was going to give you guys an update.
What? Look.
Actually, Figgy, I would like you to play. These are the highlights that are worth listening to from the Pro Bowl. You ready? Dear listener, here you go. That was it. From the not the Pro Bowl games in general, because we still have the things that are going to happen on Saturday. But the things that happened yesterday, I got to admit, I know a lot of people were bagging on him. You were right to do so. Nico Collins, like, he was very early on in that, like, trivia thing that led into how much time.
Dude, what are we doing?
It was very weird.
Did you see Justin Jefferson?
Yes, with the big Mickey Mouse hands.
Yeah.
Derek Stingley had the giant hands. He looked like Luda in the, was that the Move? Was that the Move video where he had the big hands?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
I was, like, legitimately secondhand.
I'm like, what is
embarrassment.
Going? Yeah.
Just total embarrassment.
I was just looking at Justin Jefferson dropping every ball before the big hands.
Yeah.
He caught one. Then he had to put on the big hands. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on?
And then they're doing a trivia contest and dodgeball.
Well, the dodgeball, I feel like dodgeball is one of the few things where, all right, now we're just like, we're competing in something that feels sporty. And now we're getting into that place. And also, that gives me an opportunity to salute Joe Mixon. Apparently, he got a little bit of a cannon.
Yeah, he does have a cannon.
I think he caught Brian Branch in the no-no area, though.
It doesn't help. It was an embarrassment. Like, just stop. Just stop. Nobody wants to be there. It's not in Hawaii. It's silly. Like, I was legitimately, I watched about 18 seconds and said, nope. And then I just checked in.
Do you feel like they should go back to the old way, a Pro Bowl?
Well, they should, but they won't.
Because they ain't going to get rid of all of this stuff. But do you feel like they should just go back to a regular Sunday or whatever, wherever day they used to have the Pro Bowl on, just play a game and that's it?
They should, but they won't. I mean, we're not in that world anymore. You know, too many injuries and worries. And
they should at least take the trip to Hawaii.
They should go to Hawaii. Yeah, that's for sure.
I do like that somebody yesterday was like, oh, so we have NFL Pro Bowlers doing the Nickelodeon Guts. And I was like, actually, would it be better if they just did Nickelodeon
Guts? Yeah, they should get that sponsor. Yeah,
like, just actually do. I want to see dudes climbing the aggro crag. Actually, let's just widen this out. Like, just do all of those, like, Nickelodeon games and stuff. Like, have them do Legends of the Hidden Temple. Like, just do all of it. I would like to see all those things. But yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's dive into the story. It broke during our show yesterday, but we weren't able to get into all of the many details. Justin Tucker's been accused of some real inappropriate behavior during massages. And let's break this down next.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, that's the type of time we're on this Friday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday as well. Man, we're triple excited, in fact. Here's the three reasons me personally I'm excited on this Friday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you care or not, but I'm telling you anyway. One, it's a Friday. Point.
Yeah.
Period. Point blank period.
You ain't got to name the other two.
Yeah.
Two is payday.
Oh, hey,
okay.
Hey,
and I hope that you also have a payday so that you can be on these same vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Three, this is our last show before we head out to NOLA.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be out.
Man.
We're going to be out there on Radio Row, courtesy of Flight by Yingling, courtesy of Low T Center. Exclusive Furniture is sending us out there with the with the, you know, hot seat for all the fantastic guests that we're going to have all week long. And then you will be able to see all the things happening courtesy of MoCaram Injury Lawyer. So, like, look, man, we're taken care of so that you can get taken care of on the path to the Super Bowl.
It's going
to
be fun, man. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, too, at Sports Radio 610, at The Figgy Fig. At Lopez on Sports, at Reggie Adatou.
It's the full name, at Reginald Adatou.
Okay.
It's the full name.
Yeah, man, make sure you follow us. We're going to be updating a lot of stuff, including the car ride. We're going to be, all three of us going to be in the car together.
I will turn this car ride around.
No, you won't. I bet you won't.
I wonder what the playlist going to look like, man.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Is it
going to
be silent? I got to bring headphones?
I'm driving. It's my playlist. That's the rule.
That's what I'm saying. What's the playlist going to look like? Do I need to get the headphones?
Is that true that it's a rule? If you're driving, like if you're just ambling around the city, it's the playlist.
Nah. You don't touch another man's.
Man, I disagree. I feel like if you're on a road trip, somebody is designated with the aux cord.
No.
Are you for real? 713-572-4610.
You don't touch another man's radio.
That's a general, like if we just generally get in the car. If we're going on a road trip, which is what this is, we're going to be in the car, 6 hours?
And see, I feel like that's kind of an older rule, too, because back in the day, you had, whoever car was, they had CDs, tapes, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could just plug up a phone, and the driver can't just be sitting there on the phone trying to look for music and stuff like that.
You know the rules.
Sometimes you just pass it all to the passenger.
You know the rules.
Man, I'm not certain about that. We'll let the people decide.
I bring my headphones.
Let me know. While we do that, we pivot to a very serious topic. As yesterday, we got news courtesy of the Baltimore Banner doing some Capital J journalism. And, a real long-form piece about Justin Tucker and some alleged illicit behavior. Or, not good behavior, I guess is the way that I'll ultimately say it. He was accused, rather, of inappropriate behavior during massages. Over about a 4-year span, 2012 to 2016 is where these incidents were kind of reported from. Mm-hmm. And, of course, 2012 was Justin Tucker's rookie year there in Baltimore. Apparently, if you drill down into it, I think it's six massage therapists were kind of contacted and talked to about this. In fact, I guess the way that this started was that the Baltimore Banner got a tip about this on January 9th of this year. Imagine that, right? Like this dates back to, over a decade ago. They got a tip finally this year and they started, kind of digging into this, talking to these various massage therapists whose names were kind of protected for obvious reason.
Yeah.
After being interviewed, one of the therapists contacted attorney Michael Belsky, who is a partner at SBWD law firm who specializes in sexual abuse and harassment cases. So then they represent, I believe, four of the therapist, but apparently what happened is that Justin Tucker was engaging in all similar things that we heard in, the Deshaun Watson case, where, now, of course, and I think Sean made this distinction, I thought it was worthwhile, that this was not the kind of, individual, finding them on Instagram type massages. These were, establishments. Professional establishments that were there where, several therapists said that his behavior was so egregious that they ended his sessions early, refused to work with him again. And at two of the spas, the management said that they were banning him from returning completely. In fact, I believe one of the massage places said, quote, what was the quote? Tucker's inappropriate actions began slowly and subtly, but, that's actually the wrong quote. It was that they took immediate and decisive action to ban this individual from their business and services to ensure a safe environment for all. So, look, it seems like this is pretty well reported. They talked about his improper actions beginning slowly and subtly, but after he repeatedly attempted to expose his genitals and in some cases seemingly positioned his hand to brush their thighs with his fingers, they concluded that he was deliberately being inappropriate. That's a direct quote from the people interviewed. So it seems like there's a pretty good leg to stand on here. Obviously it's still accusations, but it seems like there's a pretty good leg to stand on here that Justin Tucker was behaving very inappropriately in these cases.
Yeah, look, and obviously, as you just mentioned, it's allegations at this point. And Justin Tucker has issued a statement, and his agent has completely denied it. He completely denied it.
Yeah.
So we do have to mention that, and we do have to make it clear that that's where it is.
Sure.
I will say this: that these being professional you know, massage therapists and professional, you know, businesses, you know, brick and mortar businesses. In some ways, if there is anything to this, I think he's kind of in a worse place than even Deshaun Watson.
I'm interested to hear why.
Because these are businesses, and I'm guessing most businesses like this and most businesses in general, they will have video of the entrance of Justin Tucker in these places, maybe leaving abruptly, you know, after a certain few number of minutes or whatever, maybe have, you know, like I said, there's going to be some, there's a good chance.
There's some level of documentation. Yeah. And outside of video, I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, right? Because I
record books.
Right. And If therapists would had to, I love that you're like, it's not physical media.
It's not
clearly
an actual
book. It's in the cloud. There's instances where therapists had to take it to their managers, which is what is being
correct.
Reported
documentation.
Here, that's an HR situation where I imagine that there had to be some level of actual physical documentation on these circumstances, which I would hope means that these things could be a lot easier, like easily proved so that we don't have to get into like the he said, she said that I think that we've tended to get into some of these situations with at various points. But man, I think one of the things that makes this that has made this more egregious for me outside of the idea that not only was he kind of doing some of those things, there are three of the women who, mind you, interviewed individually, right, said that when they returned to the treatment room after Tucker left, they discovered a large wet spot on the massage table, what they strongly believed to be, you know, bodily fluids to try and be as delicate as possible in saying that, is that at least one of these, you know, places that he was actively kicked out of was one that Ravens folks frequently frequented. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was maybe even a professional relationship, but at least a, you know, kind of cordial relationship between the organizations. Many members of the Ravens patronized this place, and you was out here acting a fool, showing your ass, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like the Deshaun thing, we were so close to it. It was something we talked about literally every day, but there was a lot of speculation, and he did this on Instagram, and you know, went to this woman's, you know, home or whatever it might have been. This is a business that has some level of a relationship with the Baltimore Ravens. And so the Ravens might even have some documentation of, yeah, we sent him here or he went there. Certainly they have that as well. So I think, you know, as much as he's denying it, and maybe he's right, we don't know, but I think it could be worse in some ways than Deshaun because it's like right there.
Yeah, it's an actual business.
Yes,
and I think right Deshaun there. Was hitting up personal massage.
Yeah. Someone argued that that's worse, though, like that he was actively targeting certain women.
No, it
right?
feels
that
worse. It's creepier. It. Yeah, sure. It's creepier.
No, Deshaun was targeting. He was targeting. This one seemed like it could be more trouble.
No,
like,
I'm talking about, like, could you prove this? Mm. Do you have some level of evidence? Like, Deshaun was just, it felt creepy, but we didn't see all this stuff. You know, we didn't have all this.
It looked
stuff.
Like Deshaun was targeting, like, up and coming independent massage therapists.
Or non-massage therapists. Whereas this is a professional business that all of a sudden, like, it's out there. I mean, it's there. Like, you know, there's some like level of
being being banned from a place.
Yeah.
That's another thing, right? Yeah. It wasn't just that, like, because, again, a few of them, and I know some people be like, oh, well, how are they, you know, how are these therapists, you know, so distraught or what have you? It wasn't just that they stopped their, it wasn't just that they stopped the treatment early or whatever. And I know some people be like, well, and I think that was one of the things, the claims that Tucker, I don't know if it was him himself or via his representation said that, you know, hey, it's to be expected that every once in a while, you know, maybe there'd be some exposure or whatever. But these therapists do this for a living. And like I was mentioning, one of them mentioned that his improper actions began slowly and subtly. They know the difference between just, the sheet slipped or whatever. This is becoming intentional. After repeated attempts to expose himself and in some cases, like trying to touch them. I have a strong feeling that once it reaches a certain level, like it's very evident as opposed to just, oh, well, this was a few, you know, errant instances of accidental exposure.
Yeah. And I don't know if this even affects like an NFL decision, a Baltimore Ravens decision, or any decision in terms of lawsuits and such. But there is a common sense factor here. The common sense tells me if I go to get a massage and the sheet slips and they feel uncomfortable about it, I'll be wearing a parka the next time. You know what I mean? I'll be wearing like sweatpants and make sure that this doesn't happen. I think in that instance,
you've crafted for yourself, you are going in there for a massage.
Correct.
But
that's what I'm saying. Common sense says this was not exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, the picture that is being painted here is of a man who is maybe not going in there for a massage, but going in there for trying to, gin up sexual favors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fairly despicable in my personal estimation. Now, some people have asked, and I understand why this pops up as a question whenever something of this sort comes up. Why 9 years later? And I do find that was one of the things that I was kind of thinking of as reading this. And one of the things that, again, and one of the reasons why I mentioned why, the timeline of this, that the Baltimore Banner, the publication that's kind of that did this long form article and did this this journalism, they got the tip earlier this year. They started talking to various people. And it was at this point when somebody who was interviewed, I imagine once they realized that, oh, this is not an isolated incident within my workplace or with me, that this is a wider spread thing, that then they went and reached out to representation. We're beyond the statute of limitations now, but I do wonder if the level of understanding that, oh, this was a bigger issue as opposed to just like something that happened with me where we kicked this one dude out, that raised it to the level of, okay, now we might need to take a further action.
And there's also, therapists and all kinds of people will tell you, a lot of times these are things that people just do not want to come forward with. And then at some point they're like, it's affecting me. It's affecting me long term. I have to say something.
Right. And so this is going to be something interesting. I think one of the things that we immediately jump to is, man, his career might be cooked there, in part because he had a pretty poor season, at least for his standards. But I think you could probably say in a general way this year kicking. I know some people were talking about maybe this was a part of the stress. I'm not certain because, again, the timeline we set up, we're talking about January.
Mm-hmm.
So it might. And the reason why I say this is he might just be declining in general. And that might give the Ravens a little opportunity to get like the easy layup.
I think it will.
And I hate to say it that way, but, we understand that the value proposition factors into how much of your guff we're going to put up with.
Yeah.
And this is clearly serious allegations. But some teams would look at this with some level player and go, yeah, but the player is worth X, whatever. Even though he is a club legend, if he is playing poorly, I think that would make it a little bit easier for them to like come down difficult, whether it's punishment or just straight out maybe like cutting him or what have you.
It
remains to be seen what actually happens there. But that was a thought that I had.
I think it will. I think it will affect their decision on that, and it's not going to end well for anyone.
Think also too, it don't help that he's a kicker. I know he's the best kicker in history, but he's still a kicker.
Right, man. Exactly. What is the value proposition?
He ain't no quarterback.
Yeah,
I am. One of the things that's a little disconcerting, and I'll leave it here, is just this is now two players that we've seen have done this, and I do wonder, how prevalent is this actually in the league, right? And I,
how many guys are nervous out there?
Right. And again, we're talking about allegations here, and I want to be careful because I don't want to put anybody in an undue place. But at the very least, it feels like credible allegations to me, fairly credible that at least we can discuss it in such way. If there's two, how many more could there possibly be in these spaces? And that's really uncomfortable for me to think about. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Friday. Let's get back to the fun funky of it. Let's celebrate an all-star here in Houston. We'll talk about that and more in What's Poppin' next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here on a Friday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I really don't want to go back to the previous segment and talk about those things, but you guys keep texting stuff in, and I like getting involved in the conversations with you on the text line, 713-572-4610. And at least I'll say this, I guess in a slightly upbeat manner, with all due respect to the circumstances that are there, and with, not trying to make light of a situation that I'm really, very passionate about. Like, you remember my calls, my cleats.
Oh, yeah.
Or kicks, rather.
Yeah.
Not exactly the same thing, but was for the Houston Women's Center, which, these things are near and dear to my heart personally, so I don't want to make light of them. However, someone did text in and said, the real question is, with Justice Tucker, how long after he's cut, does he become a chief? Because it does feel like they have they have quite the appetite for taking on players that have, some level of, problematic nature to them, quote unquote.
Yeah, but they got Harrison Butker, anti-Tucker.
Yeah, well,
get back in the kitchen, woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, they already have their own. So, well, yeah.
He might be a Cleveland Brown.
I mean, that's actually not that far off.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go around the NFL. Sorry, not around the NFL. Where am I? What's popping is what we're doing here. And what's popping is we have an all-star in Houston. His name is Alperen Şengün. It was announced on Inside the NBA yesterday as they were getting ready for their coverage. He is one of the all-star reserves. The first homegrown all-star is the way I'll say it in a little while. And he joins the likes of Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, James Harden, Jaren Jackson Jr., who they played last night, and Victor Wembanyama, as well as Jalen Williams on the Western side of things. And man, really well deserved. I think this was one of those things where we knew was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little bit of worries as, you know, he's had some instances of maybe not being as sure-handed in the restricted area, where I was wondering if, hey, is someone going to try and sneak up and maybe steal that spot? The West is a really heavily loaded place for talent. But no, Alperen Şengün is in as a reserve in the All-Star game. I love seeing this for the men.
Look, I outside of the obvious, you're happy for the guy.
100%.
I think it kind of is signaling, you know, as much as, you know, the NBA, you can talk about some of the things they do and how they do things. But I think it's kind of signaling a lot of transition here. A lot of transition with some of these younger players. I'm looking at the list right now. It's three first-year players in the West on the reserves and two in the East. And guys like, Cade Cunningham and Tyler Hero and Jalen Williams and Wembanyama and Şengün. A little bit of a transition here, which you always like to see, you know, some of these young guys. Now, there were some, I think, very, very valid snubs that become a result of that.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I thought you were going to get into some of the snubs that you were feeling.
Well, I think probably the biggest one was, what's his name from Atlanta?
Who are you talking, Trey?
Trey Young, yeah.
I was thinking LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm. LaMelo was a good one.
LaMelo's an interesting one because he has big numbers, but that is not winning basketball in there. I think some people have talked about, like, Norm Powell was one of those guys in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, the names still matter in this.
And there's always snubs.
There's always going to be. It feels like there was a level of trying to acknowledge winning, mm-hmm, from the coaches that voted on these reserves. Because I know up in Dallas, they're upset that Kyrie Irving is not in here. That's a team that has not won, mm-hmm, nearly to the same degree. I think they might be sitting in that kind of sixth seed or in that general area of it. So it's one of the places where it felt like you had to have an all-star for the Rockets with this fantastic season. I'm glad it's Alperen Şengün, the third youngest all-star in Houston Rockets history after Yao Ming and Hakeem Olajuwon. And then
that's also good company.
Yeah, very good company. And then also the second Turkish-born, mm-hmm, all-star after Mehmet Okur. So salute to Alperen Şengün, Alpi as he's called, getting his chance to do this and go in a couple of weeks and be in the all-star game, mm-hmm, itself. Obviously, we know that all-star weekend is going to be fun for us as Houston Rockets fans just in general, because you also have Amen Thompson, Reed Shepard, mm-hmm, in the Rising Stars Challenge as well. So those guys are going to put on well for Houston. Some other things that are popping in this way, and somebody said, gotta love being in the West and only having a reserve all-star. The starters are packed, man, when it comes
to
the all-stars.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, especially front court, who are you taking out of this front court for Alperen, right? Nikola Jokic. Was that laugh?
Damn.
Was that, okay, I just want to make sure that
he's what, three-time MVP?
Yeah.
Soon to be four. Let's be honest.
He probably should have already been four. Yeah.
Probably.
Being real.
He easily could have been. Kevin Durant, maybe that's where you try and, I mean, compare.
You
could
try.
Yeah, I was like, I personally wouldn't. And then LeBron James is an interesting one because it feels like so much of what he does has the caveat of at 40 years old.
See what he did last night?
Which is incredible. But even if you take what he is doing flatly, mm-hmm, he's still a really good player.
Yeah.
And I feel like also when you consider just like the player voting or the fan voting aspect.
That's what it is. That's why you're always going to get KD, LeBron, Steph Curry. You still going to get them until they retire.
But once you get in and you get these guys more visible in the All-Star game, that's what I'm saying about the first and second year players that are getting there, then all of a sudden they become more sort of the cool thing.
Yeah.
The cool thing to vote for.
Absolutely. So there's that. This thing that's popping is kind of wild, and it looks like there might be... this is something that we always worried about once we made gambling legal in a lot of places, a lot of corners of these United States, is the opportunity for a breakdown in the integrity of the sports that we are gambling upon. And in this instance, it looks like we might be getting at that, as it seems like Terry Rozier, who is a guard, I think he is. Is he back in Charlotte
he's
now?
He's in the Heat.
Or in Miami, that's right. Yeah, is where he is. He is being investigated for possibly being involved in the gambling ring.
Yeah, and this is from his days in Charlotte. And I read this very, very clearly because I think it's very, very obvious. I don't think he did anything. So let's make that very, very clear. I think the NBA has already kind of looked into it.
And this is a federal gambling investigation, by the way. Bingo. Like, this was reported by Wall Street Journal. This is not like the NBA is like, hey, there's some nefarious things. No, the feds came knocking.
Yeah. Yeah. The feds are involved, they know. They
it's
know.
Like you always say, you know, when they come knocking, don't be lying because they already know.
They got everything. they just come in there and confront you now.
Yes. And so this to me has all the markings of a big problem in professional sports. And it's a problem that you can never really fully avoid. Staffers, lower level staffers that are around the team all the time. You know, you can pick your lane there, whether it's trainers or managers or,
equipment, all that stuff.
They know a lot. And they are prime targets. The sharps always find out. They always have connections, and they can always tempt lower level staffers. On the one hand, I feel bad. These people are, you know, around the team every day, probably don't make a lot of money. And then here comes the sharps. Did you see the details of this? Because I dug in a little bit. It was like it was almost too obvious. Well, it was too obvious how much money was spent. And it comes back to a Terry Rozier game. When he ended up having, I believe, like a calf injury or something, and all kinds of money was coming on the under of the team, the under of his points, the under on his three-pointers.
It was a foot issue, yeah.
Yeah.
And mind you, just to let you know, when you talk about big money coming in, this was 2023, mm-hmm. so two seasons ago, mm-hmm. when he was, like you mentioned, he was with the Charlotte Hornets. This is a Hornets-Pelicans game. Then.
Yeah.
Pelicans, an interesting team at that mm-hmm. point, but I don't know that I would put this to the level of, between the Hornets and Pelicans, you don't imagine that that's a game that's being gambled on in a high degree. These are not huge markets. These are not incredible teams.
And then all of a sudden
you get a heavy, a heavy amount of money coming in, mm-hmm. and bettors were parlaying the unders on Rozier statistics, including rebounds ahead of that game versus the Pelicans. In that game, he leaves... after less than 10 minutes with a foot issue. And everybody's looking up like, oh, can you say Jontay Porter?
Yeah.
Right? Like, is this the way that we're you know,
those
getting
bettors,
to this money?
They cashed in the second quarter at the latest on all these unders. So that's a red flag. But it tells me somebody around that team, somebody got to him, and he spilled the beans. Dude, he's got a bad foot.
Damn.
Yeah.
But even in having a bad foot, knowing that he's not going to play,
that he will play in order to
because if you set bets on, you know, over-unders and he doesn't play, you know, then you cancel the ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
That he will play but not play a lot. Mm-hmm. That's when you start going, hey, what did Terry know? Like, what was he agreeing to or not agreeing to?
I don't think he knew a damn thing. I'm not trying to protect the players. I think I just don't in
my
heart.
That's what got Jontay Porter hemmed up.
No, I got it.
He is done.
I get you. I understand.
But, yeah, this one's weird too, because Terry, I mean, he's not like Jontay Porter that was trying to make his way in the NBA type deal.
Yeah.
Terry got paid before, right?
Yes.
He has gotten a little bit of money.
So that would be shocking if he was into a thing like this. I just refuse to
believe, and I'm not trying to defend players here because they can be as dirty as anybody.
Yeah,
you never know.
And I'm not trying to levy those allegations, but I mean, the feds came knocking about this. So, like, I think that.
I could see where somebody's taping his ankle and he tells him, man, I don't know how long I can go tonight. Boom. That guy, I know who to call. You know, that kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And it's ugly.
No, and so it really does stink because, like, the integrity of the game clearly matters a good amount. It's one of those things that it's evident that the leagues care more about than some mm-hmm. of the other things that they talk about, whether mm-hmm. it's safety or all these other things. It's like integrity of the game matters because this all falls apart if people believe that this stuff is not like on the up and up, which is why all of the ref talk is one of those things that the NFL and all these other sports need to handle with the level of care, because once people lose faith in the integrity of this, it really is a level of faith that holds up all these institutions that we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And if you lose that, it becomes a real problem, Bubba, real problem. Another thing that is popping, we did mention Nick Cayley taking himself out of the Jets, a consideration for the Jets OC job. Also, there's some more names in the Texas OC search. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But Jorge Polanco,
he is
returning to Seattle on a really relatively inexpensive deal. It's 1 year. What is it? 7.7 million somewhere
1.77, I believe it
right
is.
Right in there. Which I didn't realize it was that cheap to get you some Jorge Polanco on a, you know, on the cheap, like on the low side, and maybe play, you know, bet on his resurgence this year. But that was a guy that was out there, and we'll talk more about this, but according to Chandler Rome, apparently the Astros were looking to add Jorge Polanco, not as a third baseman or anything like that, but to play second base and move Altuve to left field. So apparently the Altuve and left field thing was just like, is a thing.
It's going to happen.
It is a thing.
It's going to happen. And they could have had him. I mean, they could have had Polanco, as you mentioned.
And we'll talk more about this later in the show as well, but it makes me wonder, why didn't they then?
That, I think that's what you need to wonder.
Yeah, right? let's examine that later. But yeah, that's what's popping here on this Friday in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into this. Let's get into the Texans core OC position, because the pool of candidates is getting larger, but we're also starting to see a trend within it. We'll discuss that next.